Hello, everyone. Welcome to part two of our AFLW National Championships review. In this episode, we're going to look at the country's national championships, go through the top players that we thought played really well, some players we didn't expect to play as well as they did, and some under-the-radar girls, as we always do. I'm one of your co-hosts, Nathan Seppi, joined by my other co-host, Jonty Ralph-Smith. Jonty, before I throw to you on how you think country went, go through country's results. Firstly, they went 1-2 in the end, a pretty competitive championships. We probably thought they wouldn't be as competitive as they were, as you know, obviously the country girls come from everywhere, so they don't, in terms of team bonding, they don't get as much opportunity. In their first game, they played quite late. They played Queensland in their first game, and they lost that game by 30 points. They then played in the Victorian clash, where they were very competitive against Metro and only went down by 16 in the end. And then they got their first win and their last win against WA in the last game of the champs by 9 points, which was great to see. Jonty, what was your thoughts on their champs in the end? Pretty competitive and some good signs from some girls in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the second game was really good in the fact that, yes, they lost it, but the way they played allowed a lot of their girls to really stand out and show their points of difference. So even though it was a Metro domination, I think there were more country players who would have emerged with happy faces at the end of their game than Metro, if you just to look purely at individual performance. Fortunately, with the WA game, the first half of the Vision, which is a bit irritating for recruiters and everyone in the industry, isn't available because there's some difficulties and miscommunication with camera crews. So we only do have access to the second half of that game. But speaking to people, there were a lot of players who played their best game in the last run of the championships, which you expect. Like you say, they don't get to train together, so it might take them a little bit of game time to get to know how each other plays. But yeah, we'll go through some players now.
I'll start Lila Keck right at the top, the Bendigo Pioneer. That has been the barometer for them all season, and she's been the barometer for quite a few teams she's played in at the AFLW Academy. She certainly was that at Vic Country. She was, as usual, very lively inside 50. She did move forward a little bit, but she was mainly playing in that forward 50. Kicked a few goals. Pretty typical games from her. Like, did her role pretty well. Probably could have been a bit more efficient at times inside 50, but overall you can't really fault her too much. It was a very, you know, progressive type game from her. She kept getting better as the champs went on and did what she needed to in the end.
Yep. Yeah, well summed up. Tyler Crabtree for me was one I really liked, particularly in the first game. I think she started really strongly and is one that we probably didn't expect her. And she has what you want in a midfielder. She's really competitive. She's really tenacious in the contest. And she's a heart and soul sort of player. So she probably played her best at the start of the championships and then was able to maintain that form in patches in the next two games. And I was really impressed with probably her ability to not only scrap, but then when she did get it, her understanding of her skill set and then her ability to release some teammates as well. So I thought she was really important to the way they played. She's been able to take it back to GWB level as well. She played a really strong game last weekend against the Western Jets.
Well, even before the last community break, she was just coming into such great form and she was one of the reasons the Rebels got up against the Knights. And the Rebels, you know, they don't usually beat the Metro team, so that was quite a big win for them. Yeah. And she was one of the best performers in that. I'll stick to another Rebel, actually, Jess Wrench. She's been very impressive all season. We know her capabilities and while she did have some quieter games, probably not what we expect in terms of productivity in the end, but it was pretty impactful when she does get the ball. She's a very classy ball user out of the defensive 50 with her exit kicks. And then, as you've noted here, she had some pretty good efforts in that last game.
Yeah, well, absolutely she did. She, you know, it was a big ground that they played on and she was moved up onto the wing late in that one just to give them that run so that they would be able to close it out. They got themselves into such a strong position. She was a big reason why they were able to get the result. She also had two really important efforts in terms of defensively, where she was able to run down and get opponents holding the ball. So she's really strong around the contest when she does get the ability to look to win a contested ball. And you've noted her kicking, and that's probably been an area of her game where there have been some question marks. But yeah, she didn't let herself down in the championships. Overall, I thought she certainly showed what she was able to do. I'll move on to Amber Shute now, another defender, one who probably had really good bookends of her championships, had a really good start where She got her hands on the ball a lot and was a really key figure in that back six or seven for Vic Country. And her repeat efforts were really important. She took some marks. And then her last game as well, it's her pace that was able to stand out. So she won some critical one-on-ones where she was able to beat her opponent out the back running back. And then also her clean gathers at ground level were also really crucial for her. And yeah, from the Gippsland Power, she's probably one who's really representing them this year and looks to be their primary draft prospect for 2023.
For sure. And I have to move to this Gippsland player that I know we both have quite a bit to talk about. She was Vic Country's MVP in the end, and she was fantastic to watch. Ash Centra, what a major. And look, I'm going to say this. We overheard Lila Keck before Bendigo's last game talk about her to a to another Vic Country representative, and she said she's a freak. And we have to agree with her. On that, she was so good to watch. She was just fantastic. She's in the scoreboard, kicking some great goals, especially up in Queensland for that first game. She was so fun to watch. And I know you've seen a bit more of her at Gippy level, but she's just continuing. That in terms of confidence boost, that would have just given her everything moving into this, you know, back end of the year and then moving into next year as well.
Yeah, like you say, it's the contested marking. It's the way she moves through traffic. It's her kick. And to think about the fact that she's played a lot of her footy in defence for Gippsland, that's where they've chosen to play her to showcase that versatility. Obviously, they've been under duress in the back line a little bit this season for various reasons. And then she's been able to do it on an offensive point of view as well. Really impressed with her. Ruby Murdoch, I'll move on to, now played the last couple of games for Vic Country. She's Dandenong Stingray, who has shown the ability to run and that offensive flair to her game. Really exciting player to watch at her best. I know you've liked watching her quite a bit this season, Nathan. What she did through the championships and what people wanted to see from her was the defensive accountability, the ability to match up. That small defender's role is one that's very important, but can be a difficult one to master. But I think she showed in both her games that she's able to effectively shut out her direct opponent. So she played on Alicia Pisano and kept her to just the one goal, kept her extremely quiet. There weren't even very many goal assists or much involvement in the forward 50 outside of that one moment where she got off her and got a goal from 50. But a really impressive day from Ruby Murdoch there. And then she was able to back it up the following week against WA. She had a matchup, and then again, she was able to keep her opponent quiet. So really impressive defensive effort from a player who plays her best footy as a winger with flair.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's continue on that Dandenong trend at the moment, and I'll go to my favourite Dandenong Stingray to watch in general this year, Michaela Williamson.
Yep.
It just directly translated a Stingray's form into the Country form in terms of that composure. Her, in terms of metres gained, probably the best in the whole competition, you'd have to say. And unfortunately, we don't have that data, but I feel like she probably would be up there, especially in the champs in general as well. Her ability to get that ball and run and carry, great strides when she's running. Her kicking is probably the question mark of her game, that it can just sometimes let her down moving forward in transition. But when she gets it right, it's so pivotal in terms of hitting up a forward that is leading, because she can move it from defensive 50 to, you know, to inside 50 pretty much in one sort of, you know, stride and run down the length of the ground. So she was great again, and I thought she just translated her form really well.
And her partner in crime at the Dandenong Stingrays, Meg Robertson, had a quieter start to the championships, wasn't able to show her best footy, but she was able to do quite a lot against WA, and that was clearly her best game. And she was able to show that offensive drive. A lot of the time for the Dandenong Stingrays, it has been her that's been releasing Michaela Williamson, and she's been the one in and under that is allowing Michaela Williamson to play to her weapons. But yeah, on this occasion in the WA game, she was also able to show her capabilities. And just while we are touching on those two Dandenong midfielders, Michaela Williamson was named in the All-Australian squad. So congratulations to her, and congratulations to Ash Centra as well, who was in that squad. And just one more Dandenong Stingray, just while I'm at it, to touch on, who also had a really strong day against Western Australia. It's Gemma Ramsdale. So she started by her own admission, she started the championships poorly or below her standard, what you would expect. But then she returned in the last game against WA, and her ability to take some intercept marks. So she's someone who shuts out a defender really effectively, but she had the confidence to go for intercept marks and was getting a lot of the footy in defence, setting them up really well. And she's vocal on field, we know that. So probably played the best game of her season in that last game when it really mattered, and probably when the pressure was on to some degree as well. So just kept her name there or thereabouts on some radars.
I didn't realise there's actually even more Danny on Sinner. There's quite a few of them to talk about, but yeah. Sophie Butterworth, I'll move to her now. Yeah, she was pretty good. We've been talking all year, and I think that the common theme that comes up with her is, like, she's just going to have a day out. And she's done that at talent league level. I think she's ticked that off. And she had some pretty productive games at champs level. She did it against Metro. She was really good in that second half. We know what she's capable of. She's like a power forward in terms of she'll just make a strong lead and you can't stop her. Pretty booming kick in, that will reach, pretty much 40, 50 metres on a really good day, usually 40 metres, but she can kick even further. So I thought it was a good chance. Like, I didn't look at it negatively and think it did her any harm. It was just, it was a good chance for her. In the end, she did what she needed to do. She hit the scoreboard and she was productive in the end.
She had presence about her at times. I remember that game at Trevor Barker Oval against McMetro as well. And to round out, although there's a couple more to go, but yeah, Bianca Lyne, I thought her last game, from everything I've heard, was her best, and she's starting to really bring that physicality, understand that defensive position, having been moved around a little bit to start the season. So the game against WA was really good, and she's starting to really want the footy. Unfortunately, her season has now been ended by a hand injury. And Ali Simon's another one who's just ultra impressive in the ruck. She brings a point of difference in that she's an extra midfielder when she's in there and she's powerful. She played the first two games for Vic Country. And, yeah, her tap work and her follow-up both combined to make her a real asset.
Yeah, for sure. She was really composed for her size as a ruck. You don't expect him to be the most agile on the ground, but she was really good and just clean with her hands, and her tackling pressure is phenomenal. So excited to see what she brings in the future. I'll move now to another bottom major, Sarah Howley.
Yep.
And ball magnet at Geelong Falcons level, undeniably probably one of the top 06 players, probably alongside Emma McDonald, you'd have to argue. And she just brought it at champs level, a very sort of, not nothing to play for attitude, but realistically she's not playing to get drafted this year, so she just put everything at it. It was really, really fun to watch, tough at the contest, clean with her hands. And she kicked a really good goal late against Queensland as well, just to add to a collection of highlights this year. And she'll be very, very pivotal for Geelong to go deep if they are to make a late finals, big finals run for the Talent League this year.
And contest-to-contest running, also something that should be touched on, which really stood out in the last game against Western Australia, where it was, like you say, a big ground, but she was still able to cover it really well. Move on to a Geelong Falcons teammate of hers in Joe Sunderland, one who the Vic Metro game was probably her best game. So her kicking coming out of defence really broke up the vanilla defensive exits, I think, was the overview wash-up of that game. They probably let themselves down where they went long down the line, but she was one that was taking kickouts and trying to get creative, take those inside 45 kicks. So I really liked what she was able to do. When from a defensive point of view, she's quite good one-on-one as well, and certainly did her prospects no harm. I certainly liked what I saw from her. Probably isn't one I've noticed at Talent League level as much, but yeah, just with what she did at championships level, she's just eye-catching with what she does defensively, and you don't say that about a lot of players. A lot of players are very offensive focused.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there's a couple more that we want to touch on a bit more in depth, and then a few that we just think deserve some good mentions. And Lily Jordan's one that is probably in a similar vein to what we saw from Tyler Crabtree in terms of hadn't had the biggest starts of their season where their names are on the map, but have built themselves into form really well. And John, I know you noticed her quite a lot more with her work rate. Tell me a bit more what you thought about her champs in the end.
Yeah, I think that work rate that she had and what she was able to do to get around the ground, get high up the ground, just allowed her to show what she's able to do from an offensive point of view. So I think she was able to show that in spurts and, including in that WA game in the first half when there was no camera, unfortunately. But, all indications are that she went reasonably well. Jazz Soden, another one, her only game was the WA game, and she's a bottom major, so only did get that one game to give Gippsland Power prospect, and she had a breakout game last weekend in the Gippsland versus Northern game, 26 touches, 17 tackles and 8 clearances. But what she did in the game for Vic Country was actually quite similar in that she brings the defensive presence and she brings that want to hunt the footy and do the follow-up work as well. So she's a real two-way midfielder and adds a different dynamic to any contest that she's at. So she was able to do that against WA, probably a little bit unlucky not to get a chance earlier in the championships, because had she shown the form she did against WA, she probably would have retained a spot.
Yeah, for sure. And then the last one, Mika Morrissey from the Geelong Falcons, who was pretty good, productive, and really did her role pretty, executed to nearly perfection in terms of what she needed to do, and held her shape really well. Great with her defensive running. And again, Jonty, you noticed her. And shame about that last game, because we're literally missing a piece of the puzzle in terms of this video. But she was fantastic in that WA game.
Yeah, she was, like you say, disciplined, really disciplined, and hard running, and that again shone in the last game more than it has previously, because obviously the last game the ground was a lot bigger. But she was willing to do the hard work, and then she was also able to rip forward offensively and probably hit her form and hit her straps at the right time. Keely Fullerton, another one who played her best game against WA, so built into it and just provides that run. So important on the wing, Keely Fullerton, and I thought she showed a little bit in the first game as well. I did like what I saw from her. I thought she did what she could and is an important low possession player for Bendigo when she's playing there. Millie Lang is one who took some nice intercept marks and did well in the last game. And Chantal Mason is one that I know you've been big on throughout the Talent League season, Nathan. Obviously kicks bags of goals for fun. Didn't necessarily translate that to a national champs level, but did a little bit.
Well, in when they played against Queensland, she had her moments. She's pretty strong. She was able to take, I think, one or two contested marks in the end. Probably didn't hit the scoreboard as much as she'd hoped. Yep. But I guess you'd had the likes of Ash Centra in there that you didn't expect to probably kick the goals she was, considering her, her history of the back line at Gippsland. It was probably a bit unexpected. Lila Keck in there. So there were a few more. She is, again, probably like Pisano at Eastern. She's the focal point in that forward line at Geelong. So when you translate that, when you have a few other forwards that are also big goal kickers, can't expect them to kick the bags they do at Talent League level. Mm. But she did have some good performances and some good moments.
Chloe Adams against Vic Metro, another one, just one who maybe flies under the radar a little bit, with Sarah Haley also being a real important asset in the contest for the Falcons. But I thought she did a little bit and is one that you certainly notice. And Bridie O'Rourke is just built well from an athletic point of view and was able to show a little bit with her kicking and some other little attributes that I liked as well. So that probably rounds out the players that I wanted to touch on, Nathan.
Yeah, no, I think we've touched on everything there that we've wanted to. So we're going to do what we did with the Metro video. We've got three awards that we're going to give: MVP, Draft Bolter, and the Best 06 player. I'll start with the MVP. I couldn't think out of the box for this one. I had to go with Ash Centra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew that you'd go with Ash Centra. She's obviously the obvious one, but I'll go Sarah Howley just to be a little bit different. I thought, like we've talked about all the assets she's got, and quick hands. I think her kicking is really good for a midfielder as well, and that's only going to improve as well. So, no real faults in her game, and she just racks it up so easily.
Well, she's my best 06. I'll move to best 06. Yeah, Howley takes my best 06. In terms of, to translate that form from Talent League straight to championships level is just outstanding. You don't expect them to go to that next level just like that. But she did it so well. And she's still, again, one that will build size and become even more competitive next year. So she's done extremely well. Who was your best 06?
And Ash Centra was my best 06. Yeah. I've just done it the other way around. Yeah. So, same reasons that we've already touched on.
And then our Bolter. This one I struggled with a little bit because I feel like the 06s had the best performances. Yep. This one maybe. My Bolter's Michaela Williamson, but in terms of she's bolted her first round prospect hopes, I feel like. As in she's pretty much solidified why she will make any team just add such a valuable asset. She didn't, she could have had a poor champs and that could have hurt her in a way, and she just impressed game after game. So she's bolted the first round spot.
Yeah. And that's probably a fair overall appraisal, my bolter was Mika Morrissey.
Yeah.
I thought her ability to run the wings was just outstanding, and she caught my eye in the first two games just a little bit, just enough, and, yeah, clearly worked into form and was really strong in that last one.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there, that wraps it up, our part two of our 2023 AFLW National Championships review. Check out the Vic Metro video if you haven't already, and listen to the podcast where we will cover the rest of the Coates Talent League girls competition as they move into finals to keep track of how these girls are going. These are all girls from the Talent League. So excited to see how they finish off the season. Make sure to like and subscribe for more content, and we'll see you in another video.